we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. We pray that you had a glorious, marvelous weekend and that you are raring to go and live a victorious life this week for the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful that you chose to tune in to 91.5 FM today. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. We're kind of going to reinforce the truth that we were talking about last week out of Acts chapter 4, verse number 27, where it says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." They were gathered together in opposition to Jesus, and yet God still had his purpose. Come to pass. So we are talking about the limitation of united opposition to God. Through the years, I've had a number of people that have said to me, you know, I don't know if I'd ever be able to survive under persecution. And I want you to know that I'm not looking forward to persecution. I don't think anybody looks forward to it. But if you and I ever do experience a season of persecution against the church and against Christians, then I need you to understand that it will be by the grace of God that we survive and we persevere through that. It's always by the grace of God. And so don't look to yourself, look to Jesus, look to his all-sufficiency. So I want to take just a moment and say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done, sometimes you just have a small project that you want done. Sometimes if you've got a large project, all I do know is this. If you want something done with the supply chain issues that are prevalent right now, you really need to schedule ahead. You need to look ahead, plan ahead, and the folks at Just Concrete can help you in that process. They'll also put their decades of experience, their tremendous expertise, and their hard work ethic to work for you, and your project will have a solid foundation, and it will look good, and you can rest assured that it is done and done correctly. So give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Tell him you heard about them from Pastor Bob on the Refresh Radio program. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So to Genesis chapter 11 we go. And it says in verse number 1, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language.'" Let's see, I lost my place there. "Confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So it said, at one point in time, all across the earth, all of humanity spoke the same language. Everybody understood one another, and they understood it perfectly. So here in America, we don't have a tremendous number of people who are gifted in multiple languages. I think that is something that the rest of the world does better than what we do. Some of the other languages are related. So you have the Romance languages like Italian and French and Spanish and Portuguese, and there are many commonalities there between them. But then you've got other languages that are much more complex. And you know, I have this Bible that was given to me some years ago. It was the very first of the what we call as the Fire Study Bible. It was actually the Full Life Study Bible that was produced by an Assembly of God minister, and it had an American publisher. But we as a church realized, church as in being international church, realized that in parts of the world there were revivals taking place and people getting saved in places that there had been no churches. In many of those places, the first person to get saved became the pastor of the church, and they had no training whatsoever. And in parts of the world, it is extremely difficult to disciple people. And so we took this Bible and we produced it in this one language, and the saints that it was produced to said, "Thank you, you have put fire in our hands." So that's literally how it became known as the Fire Bible. So they gave me that Fire Bible, and it was in a language that I do not speak. And so when we were raising money to help in the publication of those study notes along with the Bible, in not just that language, but now in dozens and dozens of languages across the world, I held that Bible up one day in church and said, "Could someone read this passage for me?" And nobody could read it. It was a perfectly good Bible. No one could read it. Well, the reason that they couldn't read it was because none of us spoke that language. And because we couldn't speak that language, we couldn't understand what that Bible said. And so that was a very realistic demonstration of the need that other people, other Christians around the world had for the Bible to not only be presented to them, but also to help them to understand. Every once in a while, you hear about some very unusual things that are taking place theologically across the globe, and you realize it's because someone just doesn't understand the language. The one that I had heard many years ago was that a pastor in one of these communities that had never had a church and didn't have a Bible school, and this guy got saved. He was reading through the Bible, and he read the book of Revelation, where that if you didn't have the mark of the beast, you would not be allowed to buy or sell, eat, or do business. And so he said, "Look, here's what we need to do. When the mark of the beast comes, we need to take that so that we will be able to buy and sell." And a missionary came along and said, No. That's not the meaning of that passage. The meaning of that passage is you need to stand firm for Jesus Christ, and you need to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You need to be sealed by God so that even during that, if you were to go through that season, which I don't believe that we will, then you will be provided for, you will be cared for, and you will have a mark of distinction. So there is a lot of confusion when it comes to language. But when everybody speaks the same language, they have one speech, and they are journeying together, I want you to know that great things can happen or horrible things can happen. You need to make sure that you understand the character of the people that you are doing life together with. I can't tell you how many times through the years that there were people that came to the church and we started journeying together only to find out later that there were things going on in people's lives that I didn't know about, I didn't understand, and, you know, to quote Gomer Pyle, one day it was surprise, surprise, surprise. All of a sudden, everybody is confronted with this person's challenges, and up until that point, we had not been equipped with the knowledge to know that they were even going through a difficult season. And so these people were journeying together from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They found a good spot. They found a comfortable spot. And everybody said, you know what? This looks like a great place to settle down. So I need to remind you of the world landscape looked like at that time. Okay, it had started off with the Garden of Eden, and it was a beautiful place. It was a well-manicured place. It was a great place to live unless you sin, and then you get excluded from the Garden of Eden, and you get cast out into the wilderness and the untamed regions of the globe. And at that point in time, you've got to go and tame that. I want you to understand what the original purpose of God creating man was. It goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, so to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Basically, what I want you to see is God had not told them at that point in time, I want you to find a nice comfortable spot. I want you to settle down there, and I just want you to relax. And they had a purpose. From Adam and Eve came the masses of humanity on the earth at that point in time until the days of Noah, and they were supposed to be fruitful. They were supposed to have children, and those children were supposed to have grandchildren, and on and on and on. There was supposed to be a presence of mankind upon the earth that would tame and have dominion over the earth. Okay? And so that dominion was over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So when we come to Genesis chapter 11, and this group of people comes to Shinar, and it says, we're going to give ourselves a different purpose, a purpose that is in opposition to the purpose that God had for us, and that is that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply and go all over the earth. we like it here. So we're just going to stay right here. And that wasn't what God had told them to do. I wonder if there's things that God has told us to do, and we get to a place and we say, you know, this is a good place. I think that we will just settle down here, and we'll just invalidate, neutralize, and forget all about what God has said. When I look at the book of Joseph, or not the book of Joseph, when I look at the book of Genesis, all of a sudden people are leaning their heads to the left and right. And it's like, no, according to the book of Genesis, when Joseph was in Egypt, he moved all of the Egyptians from out in the expanse of society, and he moved them into cities. And if you look right now, there is places around the globe where that strategy is still being employed. They are literally relocating people from the countryside, and they are concentrating them in the cities. Now, I've lived in bigger cities. I've lived in one of the largest cities in the country, and there are a lot of cultural assets that are available in those cities. But I tell you what, I didn't hardly ever find there. I didn't find a farm. I didn't find any place that produced food. You know, maybe some farmers markets that would pop up every once in a while where people would drive in. And I'll tell you, when a difficult season comes, there's just not a lot of production of the food essentials that take place in that society. There's a tremendous need, but there's not a tremendous supply. And so I think that we need to realize that whenever there's a concentration into one area, that better be of God. You know, several years ago, there was a storm that passed through a very, very, very large metropolitan area. And all of a sudden, they realized that because the infrastructure was not sufficient, the food supply was insufficient, and there were people in desperate situations. So these people come to Shinar and said, you know what? Forget what God has told us about filling the earth. We're going to dwell in this place. And they said to one another, come on, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. So they began to use man-made provisions instead of the God provisions that were necessary. They wanted to build a society that they thought would last, and so they started supplementing their wisdom for God's wisdom and invalidating what God had to say. So, again, we're talking about the limitations of united opposition to God. So everything from their perspective looks like it's going great. There's a group of people. They're all in this together. They all speak the same language. They're all organized for the same purpose. They are manufacturing what they need to build these structures. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Now, here, I believe, is one of the major issues, and that is this. They were not doing this for God. They were doing this for themselves. So earlier I told you about, you know, they had found a comfortable place. One of the things that I've talked with my wife about is, And I want you to know we're comfortable, but we believe that we are at Merit Assembly of God because God has called us to Merit Assembly of God, and He hasn't called us away from that. You know, we believe in missions, and that means that if God puts His finger on our hearts and the Holy Spirit, that if He says, "Look, I need you over here," then we would say, God, your will be done. But it's God's will, not our will. That is a very key understanding. And you will find that people who are more motivated by their will than God's will, they will be in opposition to God's will, not only for their own lives, but also for the lives of others. If you look at the story of Abram, before he was Abraham, his father is the one who actually set out for the land of Canaan, and he got as far as Haran, and he said, "This is it. This is where I stop. I started well, but I didn't finish well. I got to a certain point in the journey, and that's as far as I'm going to go." And then God speaks to Abram and says, "Look, I want you to go where I tell you to go, and I want you to do what I tell you to do, and I am going to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations, and I'm going to make you a blessing." So never force your will into the situation. Always look for God's will. Let us build ourselves a city. I'm looking to build a church for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not just looking for a place where people can come and sit and be comfortable. Our building is nicer than it's ever been, more comfortable than it's ever been. But there's also this expectation that there is so much more that God wants to do. And so we're not just there to say, "Well, look, we found a nice, comfortable place now, and we're just going to sit down and pull up our legs." No, we're still wanting to seek the face of God. Because if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us, and our community desperately needs people to draw near to God and for the manifest presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to be on display in our churches, in our homes, and in our lives. And so they said, "And a tower whose top is in the heavens, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." So instead of having God come down, they were looking to manufacture their own way to get to heaven. Okay? It wasn't just about God coming down and walking with humanity. They said, "We need an alternative. We need to produce a path ourselves." And so that was what the structure being built was all about. It was saying, you know, we don't know if we can trust God to do things the way we want Him to do them, so we had better build something for ourselves, make a name for ourselves, and create an access that is beyond what God can provide for us. And here's the thing. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. There was a fear foundation in their actions. They didn't want to be separated. They didn't want to be scattered. They did not want to fulfill the purpose that God had. And somehow the enemy had come in and created such an environment of fear that they said, "Look, we need to do this. This is for our own safety. This is for our own sustainability. We need to do this because if not, we're going to be scattered. We're going to be left alone, and we are going to be eradicated." I want you to know God does not call you to His purpose and His plans so that He can set you up to fail. He set you up to succeed. When he tells you to do something, it's not because He's mad at you. It's not because He's wanting to humiliate you. He set you up to succeed so he can brag on you. You know, here when we get done with this passage, we're going to go to another passage, and it's where it's a story that God says, "Have you seen my kid? Have you seen how this man loves me. And, you know, that's what God is looking for us to thrive in his presence when we do things according to his plan, his purpose, his power, his provision. But instead of walking in faith, these people were walking in fear. So there are a few things that I have learned the hard way. One of the things you've heard me talk about is when I've heard the voice of Bob and thought it was the voice of God, and I started doing something, and then when it didn't work out, I was perplexed and said, God, I wonder why that didn't work. And God would speak to me and say, well, you tried to do that according to the world system, the same way that David commissioned the priest to try and transport the ark on a cart instead of putting the rods through the holes, the hoops, the loops, and carrying it on their shoulder. You didn't do it my way. You thought it was my voice because your spirit was speaking, and you thought my spirit and your spirit would say the same thing. So out of that situation, I learned if I hear something and my spirit is jumping up and down and saying, yippee, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I've had people that told me, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And whenever I hear that, I was like, okay, that's kind of a warning light to me. I need to make sure that that's the Spirit of God and not the Spirit of Bob at that point in time. The second thing I have found is that if you make decisions that are based in fear instead of based in fact, you're going to find yourself rudely awakened when your plans of fear don't come to pass. I worked for a company one time. They tried to motivate their sales force by fear. If you don't meet your quotas, you're fired. Said, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. One of my employees, I said, look, this is what they're telling me to tell you. And a person said, Bob, I have been in this industry all of my life. I am very good at what I do. If they want to fire me, they can fire me. I will go someplace else. I want to encourage you today. Don't be motivated by fear. Be motivated by faith and watch God bring his purpose to pass in your life. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.